Good morning and welcome to the People's Church. If you'd like to stand with me, with us, and we're going to worship.
Where you go, I'll go. Show me Jesus Christ. And welcome to the People's Church. While thank you. While you're all stood up, if you'd just like to take this opportunity to turn to someone you haven't met before and say hi, just get acquainted. Hello. I've not met you before.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the People's Church. Shannon. Would you like to have a model, please, while I explain what they are?
have mentioned.
Yes, I'm afraid that is the case.
So.
Hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm hosting this.
Yeah, let me know.
You're permitted to pray whatever you want. Yeah, of course.
I'm going to pray now.
Yeah, yeah. So the church says.
Okay, if you'd like to make your way to your seats. We're so thankful that we have an amazing sense of community. So if this is your first time here at the People's Church, well, we welcome everyone. But if this is your first time, especially a warm welcome to you. We're so glad you're here. So I'm just going to take a moment to pray. I'm Shannon. I'm the youth team leader. And this is Jonathan, one of our young people. And we're going to be hosting. But what we're really excited and what we're really expectant for is one of our year 13s, Caspian, is going to be bringing the word of God. He's going to be bringing the message today. And we're just really believing and standing in that God is going to use him to speak to us. So I don't know if he's nervous. He's usually pretty chill, but when he does come up here, if we can give him a really warm, strong, powerful welcome. So yeah, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for the words that we've just sang together. I thank you that death couldn't hold you. I thank you that the veil was torn. And I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us to make a way for us back to our Heavenly Father. God, I thank you that you are pursuing hearts towards home. Father, for the first time, but Father, again and again and again for those that love you. Father, we thank you that you have no rival. You have no equal, that you are the greatest, that nothing compares to you. And so this morning, I don't know what we've come in with, what our weeks have looked like, but Father, just for these moments, we give you our worship, we give you our attention, and we say, speak to us, because we long to hear from you. We long to know you. We long for your presence to be made known among your people this morning. Amen.
Okay, so getting into the announcements. Haven't done these before. Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on around the church today and through the week. And remember, if you want to keep updated, especially if this is your first time, you need to fill in and return one of these Getting Connected cards. You can get those in the foyer over there.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, in Kids Church today, you're staying in, but creche. For kids aged 3 months to 3 years old, it's just be free play, chaos as usual. Jam, for kids aged 3 to 5 year olds, they'll be doing some craft activities. And G4U2, for kids aged 5 to 11 years old, they'll be continuing with the theme of trust.
And the young people are all staying in the service, yes, if you're secondary school age.
This Friday, so that's the 6th of October, there'll be Man Stuff, which will be meeting for curry at 7:30 p.m. at JPUR on Parsons Street. Please let Jonathan, where is he? Yeah, let him know if you can make it. okay, following after that, TPC Women, I think you have a card for that, yep. They'll be meeting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, 7th of October, for breakfast at the Roebuck Inn, where they'll be continuing with the theme of character development. Also, the men will be traveling up to Bradford in November for their annual trip to Bradford and for the Exile Conference at Abundant Life Church. All the sign-up details can be found on the weekly email, so get signed up. Yeah.
Yes, and we have... Oh, just set this down there. Operation Christmas Child is starting, and the amazing thing is, I don't think she's here today, but the regional coordinator finds her home here in our church, and she does an amazing job. So she's launching this. So if we're going to watch the video on the screen, that would be awesome.
Christmas.
Operation Christmas Child is one of the great stories that's unfolding in our lifetime.
I want the children of the world to know, I want their parents to know that God loves them and He wants them to be with Him in heaven. That's what it's all about.
Every single box is important because it connects two hearts, that of the person who packs the box and that of the child who receives it. A child in need of that love.
When I look at these boxes, I just see thousands of smiling kids.
Where appropriate, children who receive shoeboxes are invited to learn more about Jesus.
We developed the Greatest Journey, a 12-week discipleship program for the kids that make decisions for Christ.
Yo les voy a compartir lo que aprendí a mis amigas, a mi papá y a mi mamá.
It's just so awesome to give these children the opportunity to experience the love of Christ in a way that they've never experienced before in their lives.
These are kids that have nothing. These gifts will mean everything in the world to these children. And we're going to give them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So Eunice asked me to read this quote for us. All children who are impacted by Operation Christmas Child have an opportunity to be a part of something called the Greatest Journey. It's a 12-week fun and interactive course based on the Bible. Since this course started in 2010, more than 11 million young people have enrolled, and almost 8 million have graduated, and more than 5 million are reported to have made a decision to follow Christ. That's amazing. It says, these are phenomenal figures, and it starts with just a simple shoebox. So all the information to participate for this is on your seat. It's a leaflet on your seat, yes.
All right.
One more.
Okay, and finally, an exciting event in the church. On Sunday, the 29th of October, we'll be having a baptismal service. So just remember, you can speak to Stefan or Sarah about this, or if you're on a team, you can speak to your team leader. And you can, if you're interested in getting baptized, just speak to any of those people.
We have people signed up, don't we? Two. Yep. Awesome. So we've got two. If there's any more, there's always room. So it's time to take up the offering. So I'm going to invite the worship crew back up. And I was just thinking about this, like, God withheld nothing from us when He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us. And He gives us the best of who He is, and therefore we give Him the best of who we are with our time, with our energy, with our focus, and with our financial resources. And so the baskets are going to come around. Eddie? Cool, okay. The baskets are going to come around. If this is your first time, feel free. There's no pressure to pass the baskets on. Unless you feel prompted to give, then go for it. If you are a regular attender member, go for it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
grace that flows like a river, washing over me. Fount of heaven, love of Christ, overflow in me. Thank you, Jesus. You say,
We're going to welcome Caspiano.
Legacies transcend the boundaries of time. We create them with or without our knowledge. Our words, our deeds, all pieced together, will form the history we leave behind. They are told, shown, held, felt. Memories we absent-mindedly create for countless tomorrows. Legacies are roads left paved for those that will follow. They leave trails filled with reflective ideals. They are monumental. They are minimal, but they are never forgotten. Children, grandchildren, neighborhoods, co-workers, friends, enemies, the lives of those around us inherit the story we leave behind. They make their way to everywhere, through tale or virtue. Legacies stand tall in the face of trial. They prevail. They're found in risk that clings to the promise of hope. Legacies can be found in tattered souls and wrinkles aged with wisdom. They make their way to empty rooms and trailing heartbeats. They find their way into the back of our minds, sit with us, lingering, waiting to be remembered. Found in humbled homes, inherited mansions, and tin-roofed rooms. Legacies extend past the limited hours of your life and mine. Where have you seen them? Where have you taken them in? What will your name leave behind? Legacies test all boundaries. Legacies find no limits. Legacies light the way. Legacies lead. The choice is yours. What will be your legacy?
Good morning, everyone. Good to be up here. So as you can probably tell from that video, today is about legacies. And I was thinking about this sermon probably all the way back in like June of this year, and that's when I really kind of decided, actually, I really need to tell everyone about legacies, because I think the most important thing we can ever do is leave a legacy. Because once we're gone, the only thing left behind of us is our legacy. So I think it's actually so important that we make sure that our legacy is a good one. And I am here to talk about leaving a legacy of discipleship, which honors God and, yeah, passes on his mission and his heart for everyone in this world. So I know that my friends are here, And so not everyone is committed to the path yet. But for those of you who are, you know that you've surrendered your lives to Christ. That's the commitment we make. But actually, we also make a commitment of saying we want our legacy to be his legacy. And in everything that we do, we want to make sure that it's leaving the right legacy. So if we look... Oh, wait, hang on, I haven't turned on. If we look in the Bible, there is a couple of points I want to take out. So the first one is, to leave a good legacy, we must humble ourselves. So in Mark 8, verse 34-35, it says, "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" Yeah. So, yeah, I think having kind of the attitude of leaving a legacy means we have to understand that we want to leave something behind greater than just us. And that's a very humble thing to be able to do. So we're kind of saying that we want our lives to not just be about us. We want it to be about the next generation. And we want to share everything we learn with them so they can go on to do greater things than us. And the first step in being able to do that is to live humbly and live, yeah, just from that attitude of investing in others rather than trying to build ourselves up to be the best we can be. And that leads on to my second point, which is that the ceiling will become the floor. And that phrase has kind of been in my head for quite a few months. And basically what it means for me is everything I will ever achieve in life, all of my very limits, everything that I strive for, that is my ceiling. But I want to see, and I want to help grow people younger than me, people around me, whoever it is, so that everything I achieve becomes their starting point. So my ceiling becomes their floor. And that is how I think passing on a legacy will actually change the world. Because what we do can be the starting point for the next generation. And yeah, I think that's just amazing. If we are able to pass on all of our knowledge, because we have so much as a collective church, we have so much knowledge, if we can all invest in someone else or other people and pass on everything we know, then their floor can be our ceiling and they will go on to do so much more. And an example of this in the Bible is Moses and Joshua. I'm not going to read the whole verse because I'm conscious that I'm probably going to overrun a bit. But basically Moses, as most of you know, Moses did all these amazing things. He led the people out of Egypt. He was clearly their one great leader, clearly anointed by God, all that kind of stuff. But I think what really made him stand out was even with all the great stuff he did for the people, he knew that it wasn't just about him. It was about what God was doing in him and in his people. And because of that, he spent so much of his life investing in this young man called Joshua, so that when he died, Joshua could be called by God, which he was, to lead the people. And he obviously then led the people to go on and do further things. Moses never got to see the promised land, but Joshua did. I think that's a really good example of how Moses' ceiling became Joshua's floor. But he only achieved that because Moses was humble enough to say, okay, I'm going to step out of the spotlight now and let Joshua take over. Yeah. So with those two points in mind, yes, this is another example of that. So in John 14, verse 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." So that's Jesus speaking, for my friends. That's Jesus himself saying to his disciples, "You will go on to do greater things than me." And, I mean, if Jesus says that about disciples, then surely there's people that can go on to do greater things than us. And so with that in mind, I understand that doesn't really actually tell us how to leave a legacy. So I've got some kind of more practical ideas about that, about how to put those two points of being humble and making our ceiling someone else's floor, how we put those into practice. So yeah, six ways to do this. Firstly, lead by example, as Moses did. You know, Moses didn't expect something of Joshua that he hadn't already done. He didn't sit back and tell Joshua, go and do all these amazing things, not having done it himself, because he did do amazing things. He led the people first. He led Joshua, and then Joshua learnt from him. And I think a really good kind of analogy for this is on aeroplanes. You know, when they have the emergency talks at the start and it says, put on your oxygen mask first, then assist others. That's how we need to live. We need to make sure our oxygen mask is on first before we try and help others, because if we haven't got ourselves in the right place, and yes, we will always be works in progress, there will always be stuff that we struggle with, but we have to start from a good place before we can try and help others get to that good place. Secondly, be loving. That's really at the heart of it all. It's a non-negotiable to be loving. You have to love to leave this legacy of discipleship, this legacy of God's heart and God's calling to the next generation. If there's no love in your relationships with other people, then that won't come across. I know it's a straightforward idea to love, but it isn't always easy. It's definitely not always easy. I guess I would just challenge you all this week. Just try and love someone or some people in a new way, in a way that you haven't done before. Just try and reach out to that person that doesn't receive the love they should. Yeah, that's my challenge to you this week. Thirdly, be humble, as I've already said, to make our ceiling the next person's floor. It's not just about when the time comes, stepping away and letting them take over, but the whole time that we're teaching people, they have to understand from our attitude and from our humility that we expect and we totally believe they will do better than us. And that's not just when you're in your final years, when you're like 80 and 90. That's right now. Live from that place that the people you invest in will do better than you. It's definitely hard. I find myself having to remind myself all the time of be more humble in this way. Do stop having this out view, because not only is it damaging myself, it's damaging others. So yeah, being humble is really important. Fourthly, be intentional and be proactive. This is so important. I think the reason we don't have so many people leaving legacies at the moment is because people are waiting for opportunities to get alongside someone, waiting for a child to come along and say, can you teach me about the Bible? Can you help show me how to pray? Things like that. Don't wait for those opportunities. Make them yourself. Go out there, ask God, who is it you want me to invest in? Who is it that you are calling me to get alongside? And then go and do it. Yeah, have to be proactive. And whether that's meeting people in a one-to-one place, whether that's joining a small group, leading a small group, just living alongside other people, just do whatever you feel called to do, whatever your heart tells you, actually, I really want to go and speak to this person. They seem to be struggling. I want to see if I can help them. You be proactive and do that. Don't wait for them to come to you, because I know there's been, even at 17, there's already been so many opportunities that I look back on and think, oh, I could have done so much better then. I totally wasted that opportunity, that chance. So just get out there and be proactive. Fifthly, be the cheerleader. So this is something when I first learned it, it kind of took me by surprise, because I had never really thought about it before. But when you're in that position where people you've mentored or discipled or family members or whatever have grown up and they're starting to be their own really mature people, they're starting to invest in other people themselves, your work isn't done then. You can't just say, yep, job done. You take over. You have to be their cheerleader. So invest in them, cheer them on when no one else does. Because actually it is a lonely road to invest in others, that it's you by yourself giving of you to others. That's a lonely road and a hard road at times. So we need to make sure that if we have people like that in our lives, people that look up to us and then go on to do their own amazing things, we have to make sure we're still there for them and we are still cheering them on when no one else does, because they think they're strong enough by themselves. And lastly, remember the past, honor the past, but look to the future. This is really important for everyone. And I already find myself looking at the past, looking at school stuff, thinking, why was I so stupid in doing that? Why didn't I do this better? But we can't change the past, so we need to stop dwelling in it. But we do need to remember it. We need to honor it. We need to learn from it. Obviously, everything in the Bible is in the past. So we need to make sure we know our past as a church and, yeah, family past, all that kind of stuff. And we need to honor it and live from a place which builds from that. And that's the thing. We have to build from the past in the future, not just sit there and not do anything because we think that the people that have gone before us have done it all, because they haven't. We have to look to the future. Yeah. And so just some more specific things, really. So I know all the 6 points that I just said, I believe and I hope that they will apply and help to everyone. But I also know that it will look very different for everyone, and everyone has totally different situations and different struggles. So this is just stuff that's trying to be more specifically aimed at certain people. So firstly, it's just not up there, don't worry. Parents, this is a big one. Invest in your kids, really invest in your kids. Something that quite shocked me when I read it on the internet is, I think there can often be a attitude or an outlook that I'll bring my kids to church, the youth leaders will take care of them, the youth leaders are very wise, they know what they're talking about, so I'll just let them do do the teaching, the spiritual stuff with my kids. But actually, if your kids come to Sunday every week for a year, that and maybe they see the youth leader a few hours outside of that, that's around 50, 60 hours a year of being with that youth leader. But they're with you, the parents, for over 3,000. So, yeah, that kind of shocked me, in that if you're letting youth workers do the work, that's 50 times less they're being taught, because they're around you 50 times more. And obviously I'm not a parent, so I can't give personal advice. But what I can say is that as a kid, I know that I've learned more from my parents than anyone else. And it's the same for everyone. You learn more from your parents than anyone else. They're by far the biggest influence. So, yeah, just pray with them. Try and introduce them to the Bible. They'll probably be bored. I was bored at first. But just try and slowly kind of influence them in a more spiritual way as well. But actually, really importantly, have fun with them. Remember to have fun with them. Because if they see you doing all this great stuff, you're trying to help them how to pray, teaching them verses in the Bible, but you're not actually doing stuff that they want to do as well, they'll grow up with the mindset that church is boring. And they'll leave home looking around at other parents and thinking, why weren't my parents more exciting? And that's a horrible thing for a child to know, but it's also a horrible thing for a parent, I'm sure, for your kids to leave home thinking that you're boring and thinking that your heart is boring. And then students, children, never feel too young to change the lives of the people around you. I think I've definitely looked around and thought, I'll just wait until I'm a bit older, then I'll do all this stuff, then I'll lead at school, then I'll do more stuff in the church, all that kind of stuff. But actually, the most common way people come to faith is through their friendships. The most common way is through people like us being really good friends, and then people starting to want to know more about church, want to know more about God. And that starts in school. Friendships start in school. So, yeah, I'd really just encourage you to just be the best you can. Obviously work hard, but love hard as well. Be loving, be selfless, stick up for your friends when no one else does. Do the hard stuff, the uncomfortable stuff that no one else will do for the sake of friendship. And share your faith. This is ironic, actually. Share your faith, but don't preach. And that's ironic because I'm preaching to my friends. Don't try and overwhelm them. Don't talk at them. Talk with them and listen to them, because they will only respond if they know that you are a good listener. Yeah, I would really just say to everyone going through school, uni, anything like that, there's a lot of big decisions, a lot of big choices coming up. Just take a step back when stuff like that happens and make sure you're making the right choice. Make sure that you're putting God first. Don't be pressured into things or pressured out of things that you want to do. I just really want to encourage all students. Just enjoy it. don't take yourself or school too seriously, but take it seriously enough that you do well. Just remember to have a great time, because I look back and think of all the things I could have done differently to have more fun in secondary school. I don't really remember primary school. So just make sure that you're living in the moment at school. Don't live because you want to get out of school, which is me. And now all the working adults, everyone else in the room, I think it's really important to have a mindset going into work that you can actually influence co-workers, you can influence the workplace in more than just your work. You can do it on a spiritual level. So I had to Google these because I don't work either. Firstly, honor God through honest, hard work. People respect that. If you turn up every day and you work your socks off, the people around you will see that and they'll respect you for that. Secondly, put God on the table. That's actually so important. Don't wish that people would approach you asking deeper questions, asking questions about God, if you never talk about him yourself, because it's far less likely to happen if you try and hide what you truly believe in. If you try and hide your faith, then they'll never ask you questions about your faith because they won't know. And this is something that every single person struggles with in some way. No one's perfect at it, because it is hard. But just go into work with an attitude of, I'm not going to hide my faith, because faith is my life. And if I'm working here, I'm living here, and therefore my faith should be here. Yeah. Thirdly, build relationships with people at work, outside of work. That's really important. Don't just be workmates with people, be real mates with them. I mean, obviously, situations are different, and some of you probably don't particularly like your co-workers. But just try and invite them to stuff, go along with them to stuff outside of work, so you can build a relationship that isn't centered around work. Yeah, that's really important, that they see that other side of you as well, outside of work. Fourthly, use the witness of church. Once you're in that place where you're comfortable inviting them to stuff, just try and invite them into a church space, or invite church friends to get alongside them, because this isn't the church. This building isn't the church. We are the church. So it doesn't matter if you're meeting at a football game, if you're meeting doing whatever it is you like to do, just invite some of your Christian friends along, so that they get a more deeper sense of how you guys live. And really importantly, actually, so that they get connected to the church by more than just you. Because that is a huge pressure to worry about your friends and think the only way they're going to get to know God is through me. And God doesn't want it to be like that. So if you introduce the church into that, then that's it's not as much pressure on you because they know other people in the church as well that they can reach out to if they need help. Yeah, and I think it's so important to do everything as a community, because sometimes it can be lonely, but we're never called to do any of this stuff on our own. So make sure you have good friends, good Christian friends who are there with you to get alongside your friends, your boss, all that kind of stuff. And just really influence them as well as you. Because it is hard to try and leave a legacy when it's you and, say, five others who don't know God. That's much harder than if there's three of you that are trying to leave the same legacy with those five people. Yeah, mission field mindset. I think this is kind of the key point in all of them, for me at least, is that when you go to work, you're obviously thinking about work, but whatever you feel about work, whether you hate it, whether you plan to leave it really soon, or if you want to stay there for the rest of your life, you're there for a reason, more than just you wanted to be there. You passed the application for a reason. God has put you there for a reason. So just try and, I know it's hard because it's been hard for me, try and have that view that when you're working, when you're doing whatever you do to earn money, it's not just about that, because there's greater things happening, greater things that can happen. And I think it's really important to just have that attitude and that perspective that your work is your mission field. I know we did a lot of stuff about the front lines, and it's so important that you have that view, because if you just go into work with the mindset to work, then that's all that you'll do. So yeah, mission field mindset, very important. And lastly, live with integrity. I think all the other points, you can do those really well, but if you're not staying true to who you are, if you're not staying true to your values, people will notice and they'll think, what is this person really about? Sometimes they act like this, sometimes they act like this. And it's okay, obviously it's okay to make mistakes, for people to see that you're not perfect, and also that you don't try and be perfect, because we're not called to be perfect. But stay true to your values, and people will start to see that. They'll see if there's things that you won't do for moral reasons, people will see that and they'll learn to understand that, and then they'll start to ask questions about it. Yeah, I think it's so important to live that way. And I think something that I try and do is don't take yourself seriously, too seriously, but take God seriously. So live in whatever way you have to live to honor God, but don't honor yourself. If someone makes a joke about you, don't take it seriously and think, oh, that's not true, I'm better than that. Just kind of don't let that stuff impact you. Don't think that we're all like the chosen one, because we're not. Just try and let your friends know, let people know that you take God's work seriously, and that's why you take your work seriously. But at the same time, don't be like pompous about it. Don't kind of have the attitude that we're better than them, because God loves all of us the same. I think that's really important. So yes, legacy of discipleship. yeah, just go out there and live those two first points. Be humble. Make your ceiling someone else's floor. I really just encourage everyone to just have that perspective of wanting to leave something behind more than just our dead body in a grave, but to actually have people talk about us once we're gone. How amazing would that be if we're gone and the next generation, the next two generations, talk about the work we've done and the work that the people we invested in have done. And yeah, live also, I can't believe I forgot this, aim to be spiritual grandparents. Live with the ambition not just to invest in people and pass on the legacy to them, but invest in them to the point where they will do the same. They will pass on the legacy to the next generation and so on and so on. Because otherwise it will just move this whole mission, this whole heart for God will move one generation and then stop. And that hasn't really achieved anything then. So really, yeah, I really just encourage you to live believing that you can do great things in other people and that they will do great things in other people and so on and so on. So that hundreds of years after we're all dead, our work will have been carried on and will be so much greater than what we did. Yeah. And just as we come to a close, I just want to talk about something that seems off topic, but it is actually related. Apple trees. If I asked you, what is the purpose of an apple tree? I tested Rosie with this. I think a lot of people would automatically, and I would automatically say, apple trees make apples. That is what their purpose is. But actually, if all the apple trees just made apples, we'd have loads of apples for a bit, and then no more apple trees, which means no more apples after that. So you'd have one generation of apple trees producing nice apples, and then they'd all die, and it would all be gone. So the actual purpose of an apple tree is to make more apple trees, to reproduce. And that is what we should live like. Not having the aim to make apples, make other people fruitful, but to make them into apple trees so that they will continue to then make more apple trees and more apple trees and more apple trees. So if there's one thing you remember, let it be that. Live like an apple tree. Yeah, thank you. Live like an apple tree. Oh, this is still on.
We're going to just close out and worship. I'm mindful of the time. Kids usually get collected at 12:15, so we've got a couple of minutes together with parents. But if you can grab your kids, that would be awesome. Thank you.
is life for everyone. A new day has begun. Something to shout upon. Let it be known that our God saves, that our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come, that love has won. We lift you up, up, up.
Encouragement is go and be like an apple tree this week and bear fruit. Amen? We're going to do another song just to set some background. You can stay or you can go grab a cup of tea or coffee. I think most of the kids have been collected, but it's been awesome being together this morning.
King of love and grace, my guardian, all my hopes and fears are in your hands. I'm in your hands. Where you go, I'll go. Show me the way. Every step I take, be now my guide.
say, trust and obey. I will walk by faith and not by sight. God of my life. So let your kingdom come, your will be done. All your promises will stand forever. You're my defender. You go before me. You're there beside me. And if I wander, love will find me. Goodness and mercy will always follow. You go before. Trust in you. You are God, a great defender, strong in love, forever faithful. We are yours, and we will trust in you. Oh, you are God, a great defender, strong in love, forever faithful.